right. I see that we do have Judge Bishop with us now. And so, Judge Welch, we will, you can sign off. And it looks like we have our parties as well for the next argument. So the next case is State versus McTizik. And I believe we have senior certified law students that are going to argue both sides of the case. And so we will start with the appellant. And Ms. McClung is counsel of record. You may proceed.
Thank you, Your Honor, and good morning to this court. My name is Samantha Baldwin, and I'm a senior certified law clerk with the Douglas County Public Defender's Office. And with Assistant Public Defender Rebecca McClung, we represent the interests of the appellant, James McTizik, in today's proceedings. At this time, I'd like to reserve 2 minutes for rebuttal. Before you this morning are two assignments of error as they relate to the sentence imposed upon Mr. McTizik in the Douglas County District Court in May of 2022. We are first assigning error to the District Court's abuse of discretion when it imposed an excessive sentence upon Mr. McTizik without meaningfully considering the relevant sentencing factors. We second assign error to the District Court's abuse of discretion when it failed to sign an order at the request of defense counsel that would have required Mr. McTizik to undergo an additional neuropsychological evaluation prior to him being sentenced by the District Court. In taking each of these assignments of error in turn, I would like to first briefly just address the excessive sentence component of this argument. As noted, we are arguing that the District Court abused its discretion when it failed to fashion a sentence for Mr. McTizik that took into consideration the relevant sentencing factors as set forth in State v. Timmons. In crafting a sentence for an individual offender, the court should tailor the sentence to the individual and not just for the offense for which that person has been adjudicated on. While sentencing based on the offense is certainly one factor to consider, it is not the only one. The record in this case would indicate that the District Court made note that it did take into consideration these factors, as well as taking into consideration the pre-sentencing investigation report, as well as the psychosexual evaluation conducted by Dr. Kirk Newring. However, we believe that the sentence imposed is not reflective of the District Court actually taking those things into meaningful consideration. As we believe, had it done so, it would have taken into consideration Mr. McTizik's lack of sexually motivated convictions, as well as any of the other collateral consequences he would have stood to be subjected to while he was incarcerated. We also think that this sentence imposed is not reflective of the District Court taking into serious consideration Mr. McTizik's cognitive state. Both the PSI and Dr. Kirk Newring's evaluation both indicate to the District Court, and they now indicate to this court, that Mr. McTizik suffers from mild cognitive impairment. And in addressing this issue of mild cognitive impairment, this kind of ties into our next argument, an assignment of error, which is the fact that Mr. McTizik's cognitive decline is definitely a longstanding issue and something he will definitely be dealing with for the rest of his natural life. So in our second assignment of error, we specifically look to the fact that the District Court abused its discretion when it failed to sign an order that would have required Mr. McTizik to undergo that additional 90-day neuropsychological evaluation through the Department of Corrections prior to him being sentenced.
Counsel, what difference would that have made?
Your Honor, we believe that the difference that would have made is the fact that had it been done prior to him being sentenced, not only would that have maybe played into the District Court's actual sentence of him, because it would have given them a better look as to who he is as an offender, but our biggest concern was that this would have given the jail more notice as to what they might be, for lack of a better word, dealing with when Mr. McTizik enters the facilities. Dr. Kirk Newring's evaluation indicated that at the time of sentencing that Mr. McTizik was suffering from things such as schizoaffective disorder, as well as bipolar disorder and current mixed episode stimulant use disorder. And in that evaluation, he noted that there would have to be additional cognitive assessments that he was just unable to do in order for the court as well as the jail to get a better picture of what they were going to be dealing with Mr. McTizik once he's actually committed into the system. The PSI also did some additional assessments on Mr. McTizik and did note as well that they think that additional evaluations would be necessary. the big picture of our argument for this particular assignment is that had it been done prior to Mr. McTizik being incarcerated, there just would have been a lot more taken into consideration before he was just unfortunately maybe thrown into general population, which could have posed a danger not only to Mr. McTizik, but also to any of the inmates that he happens to be with.
Ms. Baldwin, does the court have any control over the conditions of the imprisonment? The court can say that it's not to be at hard labor. That's been something the court has been able to do. But once a court sentences somebody to the Department of Corrections, what control does the court have over which prison the person's is incarcerated in, or what the conditions of that imprisonment are?
Certainly, Your Honor. So I can't speak for certain exactly what type of control the court would have. I think the court in this particular case, the district court specifically, put in its order that the facility should conduct this 90-day evaluation subsequent to Mr. McTizik being sentenced. And so that in and on itself is kind of concerning, because we don't really know what type of authority the court has with respect to evaluations done in the facilities, as well as what happens to our clients and inmates once they're actually incarcerated. Our hope that had he been evaluated prior to his incarceration was that the evaluation and diagnostic center would have had just the full. Our hope is that the facility would have had a better picture of who he was as the individual inmate prior to him going into incarceration. And that way they had the information. While it can be said that we can't necessarily control what they do with that information once he's incarcerated, we do just think it is in the best interest, and it's due to Mr. McTizik to have that information given to the jail so that he will likely be able to serve the rest of his, what's presumably going to be his natural life, incarcerated under conditions that are livable. I say serve the rest of his natural life with the understanding that Mr. McTizik did not receive a life sentence at the time that he was sentenced, but because of his age, as well as the mental conditions from which he's suffering and the likelihood of his deterioration, he is in effect going to be serving life in prison with the way that the sentence is structured right now. And so we just wanted to ensure that prior to him being incarcerated, that they had a full picture of what his specific needs were going to be, especially in geriatric terms.
If I'm understanding your argument is not so much that the 90-day evaluation would have been relevant to the court's decision as to the length of the sentence imposed, but it's more relevant to the conditions under which he would be imprisoned.
That's correct, Your Honor. While it certainly would, provide the district court with potentially good information with respect to being able to resentence him appropriately, the biggest concern that defense counsel had at the time of sentencing was what he was going to be dealing with the rest of his natural life while he was incarcerated. At the time of sentencing, some additional concerns that had come forward through Dr. Kirk-Nearing's evaluation was that Mr. McTizik was also experiencing a psychotic episode that was part of a much larger experience of schizophrenia and or schizophrenic-like disorder. And additionally, Mr. McTizik had endorsed some symptoms consistent with someone who was having delusions indicative of paranoia. Prior to his sentencing and incarceration, he had already been medicated for a number of different mental health concerns, but these evaluations just indicated that there was further concerns that needed serious redress, and that just didn't happen. As I've previously noted, this neuropsychological evaluation would have not only provided pertinent information to the district court with respect to sentencing, but it also would have been helpful in getting him acclimated into the system appropriately. Just for quick reference, both the PSI and Dr. Kirk-Nearing's evaluation assessed Mr. McTizik's likelihood to reoffend. And strikingly, both evaluations had completely different ideas of how that was going to look for Mr. McTizik in a post-incarceration world.
Ms. Baldwin, so I'm looking at the sentencing order entered by Judge Wheelock, and he specifically ordered that upon his arrival to the Department of Corrections, a physical evaluation and neurological mental cognitive skills evaluation is to be done at the DEC to address his physical and neurological cognitive abilities. What more could the judge have done? I mean, isn't the judge ordering that that take place, which is what you're asking, or what, or which specifically addresses the concerns that you've raised about his arrival for imprisonment?
Yes, Justice Bishop. So we believe what the judge could have done is ordered this evaluation to have occurred prior to his sentencing. The statute specifically provides, and I'm looking at Nebraska Revised Statute 29-2204.03, says that the judge has the discretion to order this evaluation prior to the offender being sentenced.
But to go back to Judge Pirtle's question from the get-go, what difference would that have made? I mean, if it's not your position that it's really so much how it may have impacted sentencing, because it's certainly clear that Judge Wheelock spent a lot of time looking at the psychological evaluation as well as the PSI. So what would be the difference from getting that evaluation before sentencing and considering the order that was entered that required the evaluation upon arrival?
I think simply put, the big difference would be that it would be done. Prior to him being sentenced, had this evaluation been ordered, it would have been completed, the jail system would have had this information, and it would have gone with him to the Diagnostics and Evaluation Center. There really is no checks and balances with respect to what happens to our clients and these inmates once they enter the system. While Judge Wheelock obviously placed some type of importance on this particular evaluation for Mr. McTizik and wanted it to occur after sentencing, there's no way for us to know if it's actually occurred and if he's receiving the treatment that's relevant to his health going forward. And Your Honors, I see that I am out of time. May I offer a quick prayer for relief?
Sure.
For the reasons stated in today's arguments, Your Honors, as well as reserved in our brief, we ask that this court find the district court sentence imposed upon Mr. McTizik to be excessive and an abuse of discretion. We also ask that this court find the district court abuse its discretion in failing to sign an order that would have required him to undergo that secondary 90-day evaluation. If there are no more questions, I conclude today by respectfully asking that this court reverse the district court sentence and order a more appropriate punishment or remand the case to the district court with instructions to resentence Mr. McTizik after requiring that additional 90-day neuropsychological assessment be completed. Thank you, Your Honors.
All right. Thank you, Ms. Baldwin. Allie, how long did we go over the 10 minutes? Allie, how do we? Okay, there we go. All right. We will add that to the state's time. And I believe it's Mr. Dvorak. Is that correct?
Yeah, Your Honor.
Okay, it looks like we're still adding time. Hang on just a minute. Okay, I think we're ready to go. So, Mr. Dvorak, you may proceed.
Good morning. May it please the court. I am Braden Dvorak, senior certified law student for the Appellee of the State of Nebraska. As already noted, the appellant has assigned two errors on appeal. The first, an abuse of discretion for an excessive sentence, and the second, an abuse of discretion in failing to grant a motion for further cognitive evaluation. I intend to focus primarily on the second assignment of error in this argument. And I thought a good place to start would be with the statute itself. The state believes the district court correctly overruled the appellant's motion at sentencing for a further psychological hearing at the Reception and Treatment Center of the Nebraska Department of Correctional Services, and the state asked you to affirm the judgment of the district court. However, the statute in contention here, 29-2204.03, makes it very clear that this is discretionary. It's completely up to the judge, the sentencing court, and that's exactly what happened at sentencing.
Counsel, I have a question for you. In this case, Judge Wheelock ordered the evaluation by Dr. Neuring, and then once Dr. Neuring came back and said that he believed that further testing was warranted that was outside of his scope of expertise, is the district court under those circumstances, since they ordered it initially, wouldn't the reasonable district court judge want to follow up and get that additional information before sentencing?
Well, I think a reasonable district court judge would need a full picture of the mental health deficiencies of a defendant. And I believe that's what took place here. The district court judge, within his discretion, felt comfortable with the information provided to him by Dr. Neuring to have a full picture of the mental deficiencies of the defendant prior to sentencing. So, a full psychoneurological picture might be even more detailed and nuanced than would be necessary. In fact, I believe it would be. So the sentencing judge at the time of sentencing had a full picture of the defendant's mental deficiencies, and I believe that's what was required, and that's what happened at sentencing. So I want to touch on the statute here. It talks about when the court is of the opinion that imprisonment may be appropriate, which was the case here, but desires a more detailed information as a basis for determining the sentence, the court shall order this this evaluation. So it has to have imprisonment. There must be a desire for more detailed information. And then besides the PSI, and then that evaluation will take place. So the authority of the court, or of the sentencing court, is only prior to sentencing, and that's not what took place here. The sentencing judge ordered this evaluation post-sentencing, which it did not have the authority to do. The sentencing court made clear many times that it did not desire more detailed information, many times in the sentencing transcript. And I believe that's because, as the sentencing court noted, it had read the PSI four times. It had read the Dr. Neuring evaluation three times, and the court felt comfortable enough to make a sound sentence that way with all the information provided to it. Factually, the appellant moved for this motion to, quote, put them on notice of what he is coming to prison with, them as in the Nebraska Department of Correctional Services. But this evaluation would not be necessary to put the prison on notice with what the defendant was coming into prison with, just because of all the information that was already presented to the Nebraska Department of Correctional Services when the sentence was imposed. 29-2261 section 8 says that if an offender is sentenced to imprisonment, a copy of the report of any pre-sentence investigation, substance abuse evaluation, or psychiatric examination shall be transmitted immediately to the Department of Correctional Services. So once the appellant was sentenced to prison, the Department of Corrections would automatically receive the PSI and would automatically receive Dr. Neuring's report with all the information contained in it. The Department of Correctional Services in the prison would have had plenty of information to be able to be put on notice of any mental deficiencies that are coming along with this defendant. But that's not something that the district court should be focusing on their sentencing considerations. Placement in what prison or the treatment or any of the conditions of confinement are not a concern of a sentencing court. A sentencing court.
So I'm not sure if I misheard you, but did you say that the sentencing judge did not have the authority to require the Department of Corrections to conduct the evaluations that he put into his sentencing order?
Judge, I haven't seen any precedents, case law of such, but when looking at the statute, it doesn't appear to be so. The statute says prior to sentencing, and the sentencing judge ordered this evaluation to take place post-sentencing. So I haven't seen any statutory or case law to suggest that the sentencing judge did have the authority to include that as part of a sentence.
Does the lack of authority in any way affect the validity of the sentencing order itself?
No, it doesn't. This is the state's position that the inclusion of this evaluation order was a harmless error. It didn't affect the outcome of the sentence. And so if this court feels so comfortable as to strike that portion of the order, but affirm the rest of the district court order, that would be something that the state would be in alignment with as far as that position.
So the Department of Corrections, to take into consideration your opposing counsel's concerns, the Department of Corrections is under no obligation to comply with the district court sentencing order with regard to the evaluation it ordered. is your position?
Yes, that's correct. There was no authority for the sentencing judge to even order that evaluation. And I'm not sure exactly what the Department of Correctional Services did with that. But if, you know, there's nothing in the record to indicate that. But as far as, you know, the appellant wanting a better picture of who he was, I believe that's not a sentencing concern, but the full picture of the mental deficiencies of this appellant were very clear by the PSI and Dr. Neering's report.
Mr. Dvorak, if your position is correct that the court could not order a specific evaluation be done after sentencing, does that lend credence to the appellant's argument then that that the court should have that evaluation done before sentencing to make sure that the Department of Corrections is aware of the overall condition of the person that's coming into their custody?
I don't believe so, Your Honor. I think that the Department of Correctional Services would have already had enough information based on the pre-sentence investigation report and Dr. Neering's report already, suggesting that there was schizoaffective disorder, bipolar type, cognitive impairment. The sentencing judge read that three times before the sentence was imposed, and all of this information would have been transmitted to the Department of Correctional Services already. So they would have had all the information needed to understand who this defendant was and what he was coming into their facility with. And if not, the Department of Correctional Services would have well been under their own authority at the reception and treatment centers to do their own individual evaluations if necessary.
Mr. Dvorak, did the pre-sentence report also show that Mr. McTizik had had prior incarcerations with the Department of Corrections?
That's correct, Your Honor. The appellant was in prison seven times, in and out of the criminal justice system, the first offense happening in 1978. So this defendant was, this appellant was well aware of the prison scene. And there's no indication on the record that any mental evaluation had been ordered prior to this. However, that's not to say that there wasn't any. But yes, the appellant here had been in prison seven times prior to this.
Mr. Dvorak, I have to note that I'm a little bit surprised by your argument, given the brief that was written, which I realize you didn't write, nor did Ms. Tangerman write. But the state's brief that was filed in this case did not raise that issue on the sentence. And in fact, the prayer in the brief just asks us to affirm the sentence of the court in its entirety. So are you asking us to do something different now than what your brief asked us to do?
Your Honor, great question. I would like to note that we would be of the opinion that you should affirm the district court judgment. However, if this court finds issue with that small portion of the sentencing order requiring an evaluation, and this court is of the opinion that the district court did not have the authority to order that, and this rather than completely overturn or modify any other way the sentencing order, we believe it would be appropriate to just strike that portion. So overall, our stance is the same. I'd like to clarify, thank you for that, that we would like you to affirm the district court order. However, if this court does find issue with that small piece of the order,
you can't cite us to any authority on that issue, can you?
As to the sentencing judge's authority to order that evaluation?
That's correct.
I can't. No case law or statutory authority. Again, the main statute that the appellant had argued for this motion for this further evaluation was prior to sentencing, not after sentencing. And this evaluation was ordered after sentencing.
Thank you.
If there are no further questions, I respectfully ask this court to affirm the district court's order. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Dvorak. And Ms. McClung, we went over your time, or Ms. Baldwin, we went over your time, and so there is no rebuttal time left. So thank you both for your arguments today, and we wish you well as you start into your legal careers. And we're always glad to have the opportunity to hear from some senior law students. You both did a wonderful job.
Good job by both of you.
Yeah. Enjoyed the arguments. Thank you.
So the case will be taken under submission. Counsel is excused, and that is our last case for the day, so we stand in recess.